A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now is our 8-day afternoon session. Now it's about 3:30. So we'll continue a bit of our sharing. Turn to page 12 of our Unicode. I think we are at number 39 now. 41. Now I read from 39 onward. Your original state of mind without thought is your true mind or true nature. This is your meditative mind. So understand that, then you know how to do. When you are truly silent within, you can see clearly how thought actually arises. That's why you need mindfulness. Due to condition as respond to memory. That's why I say you go to your brain. You have to perceive, you have to go to the brain. If you are mindful enough, you can also see the formation and birth of thought and understand why thought is dependent originating. Sample inquiry for self-reflection. Oh yeah, why this thought arises in me? And not any other train of thought. Yeah, we have gone through this one. That 41, true action. What is true action? Acting according to memory is not acting at all. So how do we act? We have to act with wisdom, following the Dhamma way, which is noble eightfold path, to be free of all suffering. This is true or right action. I had already explained why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Yeah, what is memory basically? Memory is all of your accumulated experiences, good and bad, when you go through life. So what does all this include? All of your knowledge, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your learning, your belief system, your whatever life experiences, including phobia, insecurity, fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, jealousy, envy, delusion. And these are all accumulated in the memory. Of course, there are some happy moments when you are successful in certain aspect of life. Then when you did very well in your academic exam or whatever. Then sometimes you celebrate a very memorable birthday or whatever. So all this you accumulate into your memory. So you have to look at all these mind states. Most of them, in fact, almost all of them, they have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Because before you become enlightened, you have only one instrument to act, acting according to memory. You know, everything you do as a human being, every moment of sense experience, we are your sixth sense. You actually go to your memory. So if you were to understand what is going on, this sixth sense door, the five basic senses and the brain, that means your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, tactile, and thought process, the brain. Through these six sense bases, together with sense data and upon contact, the mind becomes conscious. Conscious of the world. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And this is how you come to know the world. Then because our senses, our memory, this is also how we interact with the world. Does all this become your character? Become your whatever personality? So if you are to act according to all this, which is not based on wisdom and understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence, means you don't comprehend life, you don't understand life, you don't understand truth, the reality of life and existence. And because of that, the evil roots will condition the wrong thought, give rise to affliction, misery, sorrow, lamentation, like and dislike. You continuously stir your mind like that Trinity triangle. From the pure awareness which you cannot see, you only use it to create thought, the thinking process. By doing that, you create the mundane thinking, the mundane mind, and without wisdom, you become heedless. That's how living beings get themselves entangled with life. Of course, you can use thought to study, to analyze, to reason, to develop technical skill, to study, to be academically very good, with a lot of knowledge. But this is not wisdom. This one cannot liberate your mind, cannot free your mind. Well, the basic delusion that causes your suffering and misery is security, self-delusion. When you deludedly grasp, set the fire every year upon your mind, thinking that it is real, that is what you are. And because you think you exist, you think others also exist. That's why this division creates a lot of suffering, misunderstanding, conflict, even war. So understanding this is very important. That's why when you act according to memory, it means you act according to your fear, your insecurity, your phobia, your scars of memory, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your covetousness, your possessiveness, your violence, your aggressiveness. So all these are very negative. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Then how do we act? We need to meditate. We need to develop awareness, stability of it, leading to heedfulness. To have the direct seeing and the awakening, to insight into phenomena, so that we can insight into the three universal characteristics of all phenomena, anicca, dukkha, anatta, or what we translate as impermanent. When you want thing you wait, which is not nature's way, you grasp, you cling, suffering arises. That is also a universal characteristic. Then finally, because it's impermanent, it is a phenomenon, not a permanent unchanging entity. If it's not a permanent unchanging entity, then how can you say this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine? Then like the Buddha said, how can you say this for my mind is me? It is self. Self means it's under your control. You can tell it. Yeah? Let this be such. Let this not be such or thus. But it doesn't listen to you. Then the other thing is the five aggregate form and mind, the human physical body, and the consciousness, the four aggregate of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. This five aggregate, they exhibit their same universal characteristic. So when they exhibit this same universal characteristic, you cannot attach, you cannot cling. You cling, you suffer. That's why the Buddha asks, is form permanent or impermanent? Then they replied, then repeat all the again. Then he said, it formed all the aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, sankhara, and vijnana. If they are self, then it will not tend towards suffering. True or not? You can use your ability where it's you, self, then say, may the body don't get old, don't get sick, and don't die. May it be thus, may it not be thus. But you can't. So because of that, the Buddha proclaimed the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Then the ascetic, after the sutta finished, they all five become arahant. So an easier way to understand all this is the five aggregate of form and mind is not me, not you. It's an illusion or delusion. It's to us. If the physical body is me, it will not go the way of nature. That's not. The other way is, it is made out of the four elements. There is no consciousness inside. How can it be you? So obviously it's not you. That's why it goes away of nature. It will experience birth, old age, sickness, and death. These are the first four realities of life and existence. First noble truth reality. So similarly, when you go through the other aggregate of Vedana Sanya Sankara Niyama, feeling Vedana arise and pass away, did you die? You didn't die. Then what is feeling? Feeling cannot be you, understand? If it's not you, why did it arise in you? How did it arise in you? That is Paticca Samuppada. That is what we call mindfulness, awareness, training. When you are aware, you can see feeling is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, based on what? Conditioned by your views, opinion. Then you react to it, you stir your mind. That's why feeling can become pleasant and unpleasant or neutral feeling. So this is a very clear-cut way. Similarly, perception, sankhara and vijnana, they arise and they pass away. You didn't die. So how can it be you? If it's not you, why did it arise in you? When you are mindful, aware, you can see clearly. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why they say everything is conditioned among each year you wave off. Then whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. That's why you look at the front of the temple facing my direction. On the right, there is a tortoise or what? Is it a tortoise or a turtle? Then with the sectarious stone carving with the wordings. You don't just look in front, no. Look at the back. The first few words which I know how to read, I think it is stated like Zhu Fa Yan Qi, something like that. I forgot already. Correct, right? Zhu Fa Yan Qi, those few words. Means all Dhamma, they are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon, not a permanent unchanging entity. There is no permanent unchanging entity there. Just that few words, if you have the wisdom from the past, you will awaken. I remember when they did it in the previous retreat before they locked down. I remember Ingby and a few Kayata, we were there. Then I asked Ingby to read to me. The moment I heard the word, I understood. I said, this is beautiful. So like Huining, I may not know how to read the word, but when you read it, pronounce it to me, I understand. Because the word is 文字. It points towards the truth, but it's not that truth. Understand? Truth needs to be understood. When you have awakened to it, when you have the understanding, the moment the words are read out or proclaimed, you understand. That is what Dhamma is. It's not memory, it's not knowledge. Okay? So now I think true action is clear. Then to develop wisdom, you need to meditate with the true mind to awaken. Now you understand. The Trinity Triangle. You cannot use the senses via the thought, the consciousness and its content, the mundane mind to meditate. That is thought-based. You are dead. So to develop wisdom, you need to meditate with the true mind, means awareness nature to awaken. We are what you try to realize. It's the Dhamma which is akaliko according to the Buddha, beyond thought, beyond mind. If your instrument is thought, how can you realize the Dhamma? Truth, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Your truth is the reality. Whatever can explain the way things are is the truth. It's happening within the moment. If you don't have the awareness to insight into, to see it clearly, you can never understand. That's why thought cannot understand. Thought is good at remembering, giving rise to knowledge, where is accumulated knowledge, experiences. Then 43. To meditate is to realize the true mind, then stabilize it until the mind enters sati. See? How many times have I repeated all this? But luckily, and we make a note of all this. Then we came out with this book. So now with this book, it becomes so simple, the understanding. No more doubt. 44. The true mind. The true mind is a silent mind which is tranquil, still, just aware. It's just a nature within, not a being that can come out to live life. See? So beautiful. And all this was taught many, many years ago. But because when I say it, people cannot understand. They didn't catch the meaning. In fact, they are all dead. 45. Unique code. When mind is tranquil, not moving, and in stillness, that is paucity. Enlightenment factor. Enlightenment factor. Then sense restraint, 46. After having cultivated the initial wisdom, daily mindfulness and clear comprehension, sense restraint, ability to keep precept will come to be. You remember? Step 6 of the Avijja Sutta? Here's the one. Then 47, unique code. Understanding that things are just the way they are is very important. Reason why the Buddha say whatever they arise, there are causes and conditions. 诸法因缘起, understand? Then 48. The realization of one's true mind is the beginning of true meditation. If you cannot touch it and realize it, you haven't started. All you do is thought-based meditation. Okay? 49. Just relax to silence your mind and maintain awareness. Don't try to know. These are the two. First two support our awareness-based meditation. The knowing is always by the thought. Unique code 50. When one is aware, there is no word. Understanding will thus come about via the direct seeing and the awakening. And then one can link this wisdom back to the Dhamma knowledge that one has learned earlier on to stabilize one's understanding, not the other way around. Silent mind in pure awareness. Develop the silent mind and just be aware. The understanding will surface by itself without you doing anything. After this, you can contemplate with the silent mind. Only through your mindfulness or awareness can you awaken, not through your Dhamma knowledge, thought, and memory. Unique Code 52. Our true mind is the tranquil and still mind in pure awareness without thought, so understand it. And such a mind can awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature of existence. 53. Yoniso Manasikara is wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Means after you insight in the phenomena, understand the universal characteristic, or understood the initial essential Dhamma, we are either first, second, or third turning wisdom. Then you develop what they call understanding or wisdom, which we call Yoniso Manasikara. So when you have that, it's in your nature, where your nature has awakened. That nature's understanding, no need to remember, no need to commit to memory. Because spontaneously at the moment of sense experience, it will spontaneously arise and prompt you to have the understanding. That's why the awakened one, they no need to remember anything. They know how to deal with life, they know how to understand life. It's automatic. Okay? 54. It is important to develop the silent meditative mind until it is very stable. Remember this. If you don't stabilize, you cannot develop deep understanding or awakening. So I read again. It is important to develop the silent meditative mind until it is very stable and sensitive, so that you are aware when there is any slightest sensation or intention to stir your mind. We are like and dislike, born of habitual tendency. Yoniso Manasikara will prompt you that this is attachment, craving, born of wrong view, for things are just the way they are. Now you understand. This understanding is very important. It will free you. Realization of the unconditioned cannot be expressed in words. It is beyond word, beyond thought. But words and concepts are needed to express the Dhamma within the conditioned world. Well, we live in a conditioned world. So Dhamma exists, reality exists. We need words to communicate. We are living beings without words. They find it very difficult to communicate. But the enlightened one actually don't need words. They see, they awaken, they understand. That everything is direct seeing. The mind is silent. And most of them, after they have awakened, they understand both the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. Number 56. The one who knows does not speak or talk frivolously. They only speak with understanding and wisdom when there is condition to speak. Remember that. Huh? Otherwise, you become too eager to speak. Unique Code 57. The awareness nature is just a suchness nature within, and there is nobody inside there to be aware. The nature within is not a being, and it cannot come out and live life. Unique Code 58. The first and second turning wisdom leads to initial wisdom, which is Yoniso Manasikara, born of constant listening to the Dhamma and constant contemplation and reflection of the Dhamma. It can prompt you to have the requisite wisdom at the moment of sense experience to act wisely and appropriately, thus preventing your mind from stirring and reacting to sakkayadity or self-delusion. Number 59. Whatever that arises within this existential world, there are causes and conditions behind. So when you want things your way, which is against nature's way, you will suffer. Unique Code 60. All-knowing born of your memories, views, opinion, and conditioned thought are just knowledge, mainly Dhamma knowledge, and they are rigid. They are not wisdom. 61. To meditate, you must use the true mind. But to live life, you must use the mundane mind. Better understand this. 62. The timeless Dhamma. The Dhamma, which is timeless, is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time, that is timeless. Thus, you cannot use thought to meditate to realize the timeless Dhamma, because thought is psychological time. Instead, you need sati to realize this true Dhamma. Heedful living versus heedless living. This one is very important. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Most people are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they totally miss out on life. They are seldom aware within the moment to truly live life. This is heedless living, constantly lost in thought. You can check yourself. If you don't have mindfulness, heedfulness, your mind think a lot, heedless. 64. But with the meditative mind, you are most of the time mindful, aware, and silent within. This is heedful living, ever mindful and constantly meditative. 65. A very stable daily mindfulness sati is needed to see the birth and formation of thought. There is an inner awareness within when you have the stability of mindfulness. Then 66. The pure vijnana, or pure consciousness, or awareness, is the one that can allow one's nature to see things as they are, seeing truth without word and concept, before the labeling. And this is the first entity to come out from your oneness nature. That's why from the oneness nature, the first thing to come out is your true mind, your silent mind, your true nature. And that one is aware. But to return, you must cease the former mind, even pure awareness also gone. Then the mind realizes itself and cease. That's how you realize Nibbana, the enlightenment. 67. With sati and the initial wisdom at the moment of sense experience, feeling can become pure feeling. It does not lead to craving. This comes with understanding because the collector and unbearing mind in samadhi is born of wisdom. That's why you call it the enlightenment factor of upeka. Unit quote 68. But without wisdom, your mind will stir with light and dislike born of self-delusion. This light and dislike are mental hindrance, sensual desire and ego, which will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. This is the reason why you are not peaceful. Then the next one, 69, is very good. Mundane mind and true mind. So Mahayana got this saying, sing Weikenpen, sing Weikenpen. Yeah, correct. You have to start from there. Means you have to start your cultivation from basic understanding of mind. First aspect is to understand that you have two minds, namely the mundane mind and the true mind. The true mind or the self nature within is the unborn, unconditioned, whereas the mundane mind is your thinking mind, which is conditioned arising within the conditioned world. So this one is very clear already. If you understand, you can have your second turning wisdom. 70. True mind does not stir. We are true suchness. Or ru ru putong. Only the mundane mind stir. We are delusion. Mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating thinking mind. That is your sankara. 71. Second aspect of Singwei Kenpen. is to understand that all mind states, whether wholesome, unwholesome, evil and non-evil, etc., they all arise when the mundane mind arises. This is basic understanding. This basic understanding of the mundane mind and the self nature of the true mind, supramundane mind, is very important. One must understand what this mind are so that one can understand clearly who are you and what are you. 无念是真心, without thought, that is the true mind. 动念即无明, the movement of thought is by the mundane mind, born of self-delusion. Huh. 可以，请。啊，可以。可以，可以，可以。 No problem. 可以，可以，请，请。啊，we have a break. We have a break. 哎，不用紧。要多久？他说我们的李能会在那个。没事，没事啊。啊。等一下，等一下，今天的5点跟明天的早上，我们要去后面。我知道，没事。 No problem.
我这等一下要 revert to 5%. Dinner.
Every morning we revert with you.
Oh.
Yes. That's why my wife worries. She say I want 8%. I say you already revert back already. Okay, we stop here. Huh? We have this one with you all. Kaya Mita here only we do. Huh? Maybe now we can have our sharing. Huh? Sharing. Okay, we stop at. Oh, there's one more. I finish it. Xingji means quiet mind or silent and still mind. That one is positive. Xingji.